Weekend Breakfast
with Refilme Pacagnani
on 702 for the curious.
It is 18 minutes past 8. You listen to the Saturday edition of Weekend Breakfast. In our Joburg studios is parenting expert, Nikki Bush. Nikki, good morning.
Morning.
So today we're digging a bit deeper into what it means to create a family heritage. Obviously, this is Heritage Month. Tell me what you mean by family heritage, Nikki.
So we all have a story as a family. We have a story to tell. Like any other brand, any commercial brand has a set of values, has stories that they sell to us. And we as families need to stand out against all of those other brands. And we also... this is part of heritage. You know, how do people describe us as a family? You know, we talk about personal branding. When you walk out of the boardroom, when you walk out of the studio, when you walk out of the meeting room, what three words do people use to describe you? And people actually describe families as well. There's the fun family. There's the loving family. There's the charitable family.
Yes.
There's the adventurous family. You know, there's often a word that people use to describe a family. And I don't think we often take a step back and think about that, you know. And so family is the basic building block of society today. And we create value systems against which our children will measure other value offerings. And this is very, very important in building the fabric of a child's life. This is their heritage, so to speak, you know, just linking back to Heritage Day that we've just had.
Yes.
And so family heritage for me is really important. And in my latest book, Future Proof Your Child for the 2020s and Beyond, there's an entire section on building brand family. And it's so important as an anchor in our children's lives that they have something to anchor themselves in. And rituals actually form a very important part of building brand family. And as I was driving in this morning, I was thinking back to when my kids were a little bit younger, and we had a tradition of a family celebration plate.
Yes.
And this is something that we used at dinner time. And the plate is a hand-painted plate, and it says, we love you, we honor you, we respect you, we value you, you're special, you're unique. Now, if it was your birthday, you ate off the plate. If you were a visitor to our home, you ate off the plate. If you had achieved something, you ate off the plate.
That's
but
lovely.
More importantly, Refilwe, is you ate off the plate because we wanted to celebrate the who you are. So if your child had persevered through some challenge or obstacle, whether it was to move from the B cricket team to the A cricket team with lots of practice, or whether it was your daughter going for lots of auditions, or a son going for a karate grading, you celebrate perseverance. You celebrate the kindness your child has exhibited to a new child in the class. So who you are is very important. But the story around that plate is really that I had it painted, I had it created, and then I didn't really like what it looked like, and I was going to have a new one made. And I hid it in the bottom of a cupboard, but my children had already seen it. And my youngest son,
and you had no choice.
Yeah, well, my youngest son was 8, and my eldest son was in grade 7. And my youngest son came to me one, I think it was a Wednesday during the week, and he said, "Mummy, don't you think," because my eldest son was had made it into the Chatterbox speech competition at school.
Yes,
"Don't you think Ryan deserves to eat off the family celebration plate tonight?" And I very quickly had to unearth this plate out of the cupboard. And so he ate off the plate that night. And then a couple of days later, he made it into the next round. And Matthew came back and said, "Mommy, don't you think Ryan deserves to eat off the family celebration plate again?" And this was a really fascinating lesson in the importance of rituals, number one. Because this plate has become part of our family ritual. It was used often. Okay.
It's a It's interesting that your son was the one who was identifying key milestones as well for his sibling.
Well, that is lesson number two. The lesson being that it is not always your time to shine.
We
all shine at different moments, and it's okay to celebrate other people. It's not always about us. So what we created with that little ritual is a shared memory, a shared family memory around the plate. It's a form of bonding members of a family. So, you know, family is your first team. So we've got to find ways to bond our team together. Creating an emotional anchor for the family beliefs and the value system that we value being, we value performance, we value all sorts of things. Creating rites of passage. Now, that's a really interesting thing with rituals, that we need rites of passage as children grow and develop, whether it is getting rid of the dummy at the age of three, or whether it is going to big school, whether it is going into the teenage years. How do we celebrate those things? Because that kind of creates story, creates memories that families then have in their repertoire for years and years to come. And there are lots.
And this is the stuff that traditions and legacies are made of, right?
Hundreds.
Something that your own children will begin to pass on.
You know, when kids say, "Remember when? Remember when this happened? Remember when we did that?" And usually it's a moment of togetherness. So we need to make a very conscious choice to actively use rituals and celebrations to create family memories, to highlight developmental milestones, to celebrate rites of passage of our children. And that's other than the religious ones. I think very religious families do have rites of passage, you know, whether it be christenings or blessings or baby naming ceremonies or bar mitzvahs, things like that. They do have them. But a lot of that has fallen away in Western society. So we have to actually create reasons to celebrate our children and honor them as they progress from one life stage to another. It validates them. It gives them a sense of worth and uniqueness, and also it gives them something to look forward to. They know that if their big brother or big sister, if something happened at around the age of 13, it's going to happen for them too. So those milestones are important.
And that absolutely pivotal.
Yeah.
So, Nikki, a quick question. You've spoken about the fact that you know, in creating these traditions and knowing what it is that you want to sort of hang the family name on, what values you want to hang the family name on. Usually, when you talk about branding yourself, you know, you're asked to do a brand audit and identify who you want to be or who you want to become, and maybe even, you know, emphasize who you already are. Was this a process and a more sort of conscious process that you went through with your own family? And how do you suggest that our listeners go about doing this? Because I think quite often between the birth and just dealing with life, know, and suddenly the kids are 7 years old or 10 years old, and maybe you have not sat around to determine what kind of family are we? Are we the family that reads together? Are we the family that hikes? Are we that dynamic, giving, you know, socially conscious and aware family? What kind of family are we?
Yes. So there are three pillars to brand family. The one is values. Yeah. So what's your moral compass? And that happens through role modeling, how you live your life, and by using teachable moments. So these are moments that just happen, and they provide opportunity for explanation or teaching. Children get to ask questions and reflect on what's going on verbally. So, you know, how you deal with homeless people, how you deal with a motorist who's broken down or a friend who's just had a baby. You see, it's about everyday life. It's about how we are in everyday life. It's about the conversations we have with our children. It's about doing stuff together. And that could just be very everyday stuff. So togetherness is important. And we need to be promoting togetherness with our children. And then, of course, structure. And those rituals actually also fall into the structure. So it's things like, what do we do on a daily basis with our children? These are very simple ways to build a family brand, such as eating together at the dinner table, or playing the sweets and the sours game at the end of a day, or lighting candles for dinner. What about bedtime rituals? When we put our kids to bed, that's a ritual. There's the storytelling, there's kissing all the teddy bears good night, the singing of songs. That every parent has a particular song that they sing to a particular child. And there were three particular songs that I had when my kids were little. And it's so funny, with my nieces and nephews, I've sung the same songs. Then there are weekly rituals, like maybe having a games evening on a Friday night, or once a month having a games evening instead of watching a movie. Or holiday rituals or seasonal rituals. We're going into summer now. Why not have a dinner under the stars? Not under the patio, under the stars. Pull that patio table out onto the grass, if you've got a patch of grass, and experience being in the dark with candlelight or lanterns under the stars. My kids remember that. They remember our dinners under the stars. And then your family celebration rituals, like what do you do for the birthday person? Some parents have the most amazing rituals. I know one dad who actually designs every birthday the gift wrapping paper. He gets big sheets of blank white paper, and every year it's a unique design. And I've seen pictures of him sitting on the floor drawing all over this piece of paper. And they decorate the door of their child's bedroom, so when the child wakes up in the morning, there's something different. So how are you actually creating a unique family brand? And it's not difficult to do. It's really lots of little everyday actions and moments and memories.
Yeah, absolutely beautiful. I guess initially it takes a bit of introspection and looking inwards. But, you know, like you said, once it becomes part of your routine, you incorporate it into your life, and your child or your children have something essentially to sort of rest their ethics,
to
their morals,
hang their hat on.
You know,
absolutely. Heritage is made up of memorable things we do together.
Yeah. Really, really quickly, Nikki, before I let you go, I've got a listener who sent through a message saying, "Hi, Nikki and Rufilwe. Please can you talk about how the loss of a loved one affects the family brand or the brand family? How do you sort of, how do you deal with that? And, you know, if for instance, the dad who's always designing the wrapping paper, how do you pick up where he left off?"
Sure. So obviously I've lived through that. This is an entire conversation that we need to have.
Yes.
But your picture, essentially, the picture of how things were in your family is broken.
Yeah.
But we have to choose not to be broken people. And so, for example, my sons and I have had to redefine what it means to be family. Our family is still a family, even though we're only three people. We've had to claim that as family. It's not an easy thing to do. 22 months down the line, we're still grappling with that, and we're still redesigning our new normal of what family looks like to us, but we are still a family. But I think maybe we should pick that up and do a show around it.
Absolutely. Nikki, thank you so much. We'll chat again next week.
Thanks, Rufilwe.